This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three.
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Hey, thank you. Michael Lee, Santa Cruz Warriors assistant coach, joining us. And I want to thank you for taking some time as we talk about the G League, your role within the organization, a lot about your life in basketball. First of all, though, how are you and how have things been the past few seasons working in Santa Cruz?
It's been great. First of all, thank you for having me on. I should say that. And I'm doing well. You know, I tell everybody some days is better than others, but that's just, you know, it's just kind of a day-to-day thing, you know, with everything going on. So, but I'm doing good. My family's doing good. And, yeah, so, you know, but this past, what has it been, 3 years now, it's been a great learning experience. I think that's the biggest thing. Just going into the organization, you know, in Santa Cruz, I still remember the impact it made on me just to be in training camp and seeing, you know, up close with a Steph Curry and a Ron Adams and a Steve Kerr, you know, and sitting in on those meetings. It just, that was just an awesome experience. You know, and so from there, it's just, it's been a lot of hard work, you know, being in the G League. It's I'm not going to say it's much more of a grind than the NBA because I haven't been in the NBA, so I can't speak to it, but the G League is a unique type of grind because there's a lot of turnover. So you really, and a lot of changes are made. And so as a coach, you really spend a lot of time absorbing the emotions, you know, talking to guys, trying to get them to understand different things as they go through their journey. So, and we go through the journey with them. So the relationship is learning on both sides. So, and that's what it's been. And it's been fun. You know, you get to travel. I couldn't have a better situation, you know, after playing, you know, being done playing basketball, but still get the interaction, the camaraderie of what, you know, what we all love about sports. The networking opportunities this has created for me, you know, I still get to move around and travel to different markets. Like I really don't have a complaint when I put it in that context, but, you know, like I said, it is hard and sometimes you just got to push through those long days. But it's been awesome. It's been awesome.
You know, you and Warriors player development coach Aaron Miles have a huge bond dating back to not just playing together in college, but also in high school. What has that relationship been throughout what's now most of your lives?
I know, right? That's it's crazy. It just started, you know, when we were 7 years old. I think it was, we were six or seven, and playing baseball, I vaguely remember his father standing outside a Safeway. At the time, I didn't know his father, but he was passing out a flyer to go play baseball. I vaguely remember that, and that's where it started at. That's when I met Aaron, and at that time, he was living one block away from me. And then come to find out, my father had coached his father at Portland Community College, where my father was a basketball coach for so many years, and so the connection was already built prior to me and Aaron being born and didn't even know, you know. And so we start with baseball. His father is the coach. My father is one of the coaches. Family and friends all on the team. And that's how it started. And then when we were second grade, then in third grade, my father and his father started the basketball team, Cisco Kids. Family and friends, we played basketball. Then in fourth grade, I was playing football. We started playing football. You know, and we were playing in different areas. He was at Jefferson when he started Jefferson Youth Football, and I was over at Whitaker. But, you know, the bond was so tight because the sports is what really held us together. You know, it kept us around each other. And then, you know, over time, we just, you know, everybody knew. It was always like Mike and Aaron from, like, day one. And I mean, when I say everybody, I'm talking about the coaches and the players, right? We were younger, so Aaron's older cousins were playing. My older brother was on the team. And so it was always like Mike and Aaron. You know, it was just Mike and Aaron. We just kind of clicked. And, I mean, when you put that in perspective, that entire relationship has you have to talk about that when you talk about my entire basketball experience. Aaron has literally been there since I started playing basketball. You know, so, you know, whatever accolades or whatever success I feel like I achieved on the court, I can't talk about myself without talking about Aaron. You know, going to Kansas, but I have Aaron as my point guard. You know, all-time assist leader, all time in steals, one of the winningest players in NCAA history. Is like, that's who I was playing with. You know, and playing high school ball with him. We played football, basketball, baseball together. That ultimately leads to now we're at Kansas together. And sometimes, you know, we sit back and we joke, and it's like you couldn't – it sounded like somebody wrote this, but I don't even think you could even write this. So now just two boys from Northeast Portland, you know, are now in college together at one of the, you know, most storied programs in the history of the game. And we're from Portland, and now we're both at Kansas as roommates. I mean, that's – you know, when you put that into perspective – you know, sometimes I still, when I think about it, I get chills every now and then. It's just like, wow, this has been, it's been a great ride. You know, and then after Kansas, I go and play and do my thing, and Aaron does his thing. And that all comes full circle to this very point. And now that same relationship, that same bond that started in Northeast Portland in second grade brought us to the Golden State Warriors. So to go from Kansas, that level with the Roy Williams and the Bill Self and all those great players, and that history and that legacy, and then walking to the Golden State Warriors organization. I mean, and it's still the relationship is still there. It's like still me and Aaron. And when you I talk about him as being my point guard, he's like always been my assist guy. He always finds me. When he got the head job in Santa Cruz, he came to find me. He came and got me. Same way. And he brought me in. He trusted me enough to bring me into the organization. And so I really can't. You know, people who know me and really know us, I can't even talk about basketball without talking about Aaron. It's virtually impossible, literally.
You know, I think back to that time at Kansas and under both Roy Williams and Bill Self. You were part of three Final Four teams, two as a player, one on KU's staff. And, you know, we had visited with Coach Self a few years ago when the Warriors were in Kansas City for a preseason game, and we made a trip out to the campus. Fog Allen is an amazing cathedral there. Really cool to see it all. But for you to be there and think about the Jayhawks experience, what it meant to you, how it's been part of your life to this day, and then the experiences going to those pro leagues in France and Canada after college, how has that playing experience expanded your horizons?
You know, big time. The biggest thing about going to France, and I was, late, 24, somewhere in there, I don't know, 23, 24, whatever. It's like what I underestimated just in my ignorance, in my own youthful ignorance. I'm thinking I'm just going to play basketball. What I was going to do was live in another culture. Like a totally different way of doing things. And that really opened my eyes to the world. You know, all my past experience was great. I did travel. I'm not sure that I don't believe I had ever been out of the, maybe I had, you know, I went out of the country to Canada in college. But, you know, once I really made that trip to France, and I was by myself, you know, I wasn't making a lot of money over there, but it was a good opportunity. And again, what nobody knows is prior to that, I had I started with the Globetrotters, and that was a lot of fun. But anybody that knows me knows that Michael Lee is not a showman. I've never, you know, carried an energy of entertainment. I like to compete, and but I enjoyed the Globetrotters because it was fun, and we got to travel, and I made, you know, great friends with some great guys. But I got fired from the Globetrotters. I got fired. And it was, in my eyes, unfair, and I won't get into the details of it, but I just got a letter in the mail, and it said, you know, you're no longer needed for our 2006 domestic tour. Send us our stuff back. So I got fired through the mail at home. And that was a tough time for me, but and it's funny how this goes back to the relationship of me and Aaron. I was only over in France because I had just got fired from the Warriors, and from the Globetrotters. And Aaron said, well, Mike, just come over here. Just come out here. Aaron was playing in Paul Ortiz. He said, Mike, just come out here and stay with me. So I was living with Aaron in France. He got me a ticket. He flew me out there. I was living with Aaron. And, he would get up and go to the gym, and I would go to the gym with him, and I would work him out. And I was just out there. And when they wouldn't practice, I would just stay on the court all day. The coaches, they didn't bother me, so I would just stay out there, like, for hours. I mean, like, 5 and 6 hours. I'm just on the court. And, you know, one day a coach came out there and really kind of started talking to me, and I was talking to him, and I told him, well, you know, I played with Aaron, and, you know, we went to Kansas and he asked me my name and I said, well, yeah, I was okay. I'm not Aaron Miles, but I'm good, I think. And he just kind of looked inquisitive and he walked off. And then, you know, a short time later, they let me start practicing with their team. They have their whole system over there is different. And this opened my eyes to the European style of basketball too. So Aaron was on the pro club, but in that club, their junior team, they let me practice with those guys. And you talk about an eye opener. I see kids of all ages from, it was like 8 through, it could have been, let's say 16. And no matter what size the kids were, they were all working on the same skill set. They had a 16-year-old that was like 6'10", and he's doing the same thing that the guards are doing. So where the game has evolved, I saw that the teaching was different. When I say where the game has evolved, the NBA in some ways has adopted a more of a European style of play. If you look at, you know, how the game is, you know, designed now with spacing the floor and, you know, skilled bigs, so forth and so on. So I was practicing with guys, and here I am coming from Kansas and, you know, Jefferson High School championship team, all this basketball success. And this is the first time I saw it done differently. And I'm like, this makes more sense than what I was doing when I was 8 through 16. You know, so that was my experience. And I'm just living with Aaron. And then one day the coach or somebody from the club came out and he said, hey, go over there and make 20 free throws. True story. He said, shoot 20 free throws. I don't know why he asked that. He just like, shoot 20 free throws. And I said, okay. And I made 20 in a row. And he made the coach on the spot, he made a call. And he told another team that I have a kid over here I want you to see. And so I got on the train. And that was a nervous experience because I couldn't read anything. I didn't know anything, so I was scared. And I'm like, I have to figure out how to get here because here's my opportunity. And I got all the way there, and they worked me out. It was just a lot of stuff I'd never done before, but thankfully I was in great shape. And I got signed on the spot. That's how I got a job. Playing for, I think it was Entente Orléanais. And now I'm out there living in France all by myself at 24, you know, and that was, and it was an older ball club. It was a lot of older guys. You know, there was other Americans, but they were all older. They had their family. So I was still kind of by myself. But I had a good time. I remember Terrence Dials was on that team at the time. He was a big kid out of Ohio State and I would hang out with him and, yeah, we would just practice every day. And the funny thing is, the first day I got a car, the first day they gave me a car, I got 2 speeding tickets and the car got towed. I called them the next morning. I'm like, my car got stolen. They said, no, Michael, we have it. And I'm like, what happened? Well, they said, you parked in, it got towed because I parked in an area I couldn't park in. But I knew that when I parked the car, I just couldn't read the sign. And, you know, their roads are smaller. And so I left the car the next morning. I thought it got stolen. And they had it, and after that, I said, I don't even want a car. So I walked everywhere, literally. I walked everywhere. I washed my clothes in the sink in my hotel, and I watched BBC World News every day because that's all that played in the hotel. And there was one gentleman in the hotel that spoke English. That's the only way I got through. There was one gentleman that worked at the hotel that spoke English, and I would wake up early, and we would just have conversations over and over and over, because I didn't know how to function. That was that experience.
Amazing stories of life and professional basketball here with Santa Cruz Warriors assistant coach Michael Lee. And I tell you, before we go into the coaching phase of your career, I want to go back to growing up in Northeast Portland. You know, we talked to Aaron about this before, but the 28-0 junior season where y'all won the state title in Oregon with the Jefferson Democrats in the year 2000, very cool. But Portland has a true community effort that is so special, centered around SEI and the Center for Self-Enhancement there. The group started with a basketball camp in the 80s, then later a community center is built around everything. How have you been involved over the years, and what has SEI meant to you and others?
I guess in one word, SEI is community. I think it's community, it's family. You know, SEI, you know, with the vision of Tony Hobson and Ray Leary and a lot of people in its early stages, they wanted to take care of their community. And that's what it's done. And, you know, for a lot of kids in a lot of these inner cities everywhere, it did start with a basketball camp. And that's what the basketball is what pulled us in. And then they tried to give us all the tools to navigate life, you know, as we got older. And so, you know, SEI was great. And then, you know, to go to Jefferson High School, like you said, win that state championship with guys you grew up with, like literally grew up with, and that all that you knew them all from SEI. Right, they were all in all the SEI camps. You know, every game SEI had going on. So, and I always say with that 28-0 team, different than today. And I don't care who thinks they're better than us or than that. It's not about that. But different than today's game, we were 28-0, number three in the country, and we didn't recruit out of state. It was just we all grew up in like within a 5 to 10 mile radius of each other, literally. You know, and so that was just fun. That's one of my fondest basketball moments. And then when we won the state championship, SEI, which has a big center right in Unthank Park in Portland, Oregon, they opened up their doors, and it was an entire celebration for SEI, for Portland, for Northeast, for everybody. And there was food, and we had our hats and our championship T-shirts. And I remember taking pictures on the fire truck and the parade. It was a special time. It was great.
That is extremely cool. And I want to know, you know, the success that you've enjoyed in sports, not just basketball, but we do have to talk about your football background. And just like Kai Bowman told us here on the show about his football scholarship opportunities, you had offers from several schools as a defensive back, and you received the Portland Interscholastic Defensive Player of the Year honors your senior year. But that time period with football, what was that experience for you, and how serious was this where you were really weighing football and basketball?
I look back on that, and I'll start with I wish I would have played football. I look back now and wish I did. But, you know, for me growing up, everybody in my family played. You know, my father was, from what I know, played semi-pro with a lot of other professional athletes at the time in the CAA, I think it was, on the East Coast, the Hartford Knights, and he was amazing from what the stories I've heard. And I've had cousins that played, so everybody in my family, my cousin Eugene Robinson played 17 years in the NFL, so and won a Super Bowl with the Packers. And so football has always been a part of my life. I just loved basketball more. I just chose basketball more than football, and I played football just because I liked it. And then I think when it got serious for me, when I got to college, I said, okay, this is just the time to stop playing football. Not because I didn't like football, I just loved basketball more. And It was fun in high school. It was just fun, and I think I was pretty good at it. I don't know now what I would have projected to be, but I didn't really get heavily recruited. People always ask me, did you get recruited out of high school? I don't really remember because I wasn't really paying attention. I just knew I didn't want to play, and then I go to Kansas, and you know, when I graduated from Kansas, I remember sitting down with Mark Mangino at the time, because he wanted me to come back and play football for my fifth year, and you know, have me be a free safety. And I just wasn't interested. And then I leave Kansas and I go play with the Globetrotters. And when I was with the Globetrotters, I got a call from the Saints, the Chiefs, the Rams, and then there was another, Pat Strickland, who's the high school coach at Jefferson now. He had a cousin that I would have conversations with, and he was a scout. I can't remember for what NFL team, but I had a few conversations with him too. And I turned it down. I'm just like, I don't feel like it. And then I go, I'm an assistant coach at Gardner Webb. And I remember having, at the time, my cousin Eugene Robinson was living in Charlotte, and we had a few conversations. And I remember he would tell me, he's like, man, if you want a shot at this, I'm 26 at this point. And he's telling me, if you want a shot, he said, you know, cause I think I could get you in. You have the frame. And he's telling me from what he knows. And so even after my first year of coaching at Gardner Webb, I considered giving football a shot at 26. And then after that, you know, my body and my mind just, I didn't have the frame no more, you know, to really try to pursue it. So once I was 27, 28, it was that whole thing was over. But that's the last time I thought about playing football, when I was after my first year at Gardner Webb University.
You know, speaking of Eugene Robinson, Seahawks fans love him because he started his career in Seattle. Yes, being sir. In Portland, were you a Seahawks fan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So Eugene is my cousin on my father's side. That's my father's nephew. And so when Eugene was out in Seattle, it was perfect because my dad was in Portland. So that connection, he had his big uncle out here to kind of help him because he came from the East Coast. And so I say all that to say we would go to the practices. Me and my brother still remember, like, Dave Craig, Cortez Kennedy. They used to practice in the bubble, and we would go eat with the team. I don't know how old we were at this time, but we had all the shirts. We would sit right behind the goalposts. I mean, that was great. That was a fun time. So, yes, I grew up a Seahawks fan. I hate to say, and I'm going to say it, I am a Cowboy, but I grew up a Seahawk. So I'm a Seahawk and a Cowboy at this point.
We got a couple more questions here with Michael Lee, talking all manner of things, basketball, football, and now coaching, which helps you share your knowledge of the game. You talked about Gardner Webb. There was also a time as an assistant at the University of San Francisco, and then you went back to Portland as the head coach of Roosevelt High School's boys varsity team. So all this was before joining Santa Cruz, but in that time period you went to Roosevelt to be the head coach, what did it mean to be back home and impacting young players' lives? What was that?
That was a lot of fun, and I think the way you phrased it, the question is the best way to answer it. That's what I wanted to do, right? I wanted to impact young men from my community. I wanted to impact their lives in a positive way. That's what I saw my father do with my mother and father. You know, we always had, players he coached, they would always be at the house. They would live with us. And I saw him just genuinely just help people, but he used basketball as the tool. And that's what Roosevelt meant to me. You know, I wasn't the best coach, and there's some things that I look back now and wouldn't do the same. But I just tried to pour into those kids because those kids were talented, resilient. That was a special group. And then to be back in Portland, that was just fun, but it really was about the kids, and trying to do as much as we could. And I can't talk about that without talking about the staff I had with my father. And then the other special moment to talk about, you know, the connection of impacting kids through basketball, but to take that job and to have my father, coaching with me, you know, my father is my assistant now. And I'll stop there because I get teared up with that one. You know, the first game, I cried. The first game he coached me, I cried because that was special. That was fun.
Well, I hear you. And now thinking of what you're able to do within the Warriors organization in Santa Cruz, what are some of the keys for you and the staff there in developing players and continuing to build on all of the success we've enjoyed throughout the years within the organization?
I think the key, the way you repay, you know, Golden State for the championship level of success that they've carried and being a part of it, I think it's just all about development. Like, everybody has to develop. Coaches have to continue to learn and grow, and the players have to continue to learn and grow. So you said it. Yeah, I think it is just about development. You know, just trying to be open-minded and keep growing and finding better ways to improve. You know, always. You know, constantly, I guess the growth mindset, you would say. It sounds kind of cliche, but seriously, it's just get better. You got a ton of knowledge around you. Like I alluded to a little earlier, to be in a room with like a Steve Kerr and a Mike Brown and a Ron Adams, or to play pickup with a Bob Myers, Steph Curry, Draymond, KD, you can go on and on and on. It's just keep learning. And then appreciate. The last thing I say is appreciate. You know, we all can complain, but that it's an amazing opportunity. You know, we all find something to gripe about, but at the end of the day, it's an amazing opportunity to be a part of the Warriors organization.
Thank you so much for your time and your candor. Santa Cruz Warriors assistant coach Michael Lee, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has been Warriors Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!